What is going on, everyone? It's your guy Cole Jackson back with another episode of the Sideline Report with The Athletic's Jeff Zerebick. If you're excited to hear more from Jay-Z, hit that like button, click subscribe so you can find your way back for more Ravens content. Jay-Z, we have a ton of Ravens topics to get to. I know we haven't connected in about 4 weeks. I've been messaging you, but you're on the road and it's hard to connect. So I'm pumped to have you back on. Really appreciate it. But before we get into it, how are you doing, my guy?
Good, man. It's been a, you know, it's weird. You know, we're preparing here for week six, and it almost feels like it should be week 10 or 12. You know, I can imagine how exhausted the players are, and it just seems like, you know, like the one normal game, like normal, I say, lacking kind of drama they have, becomes the controversy with the fake kneel down or whatever, eschewing the kneel down. So it's just like every week. It's a lot of fun. This is, you know, early in the training camp with all the injuries, and there's just kind of a black cloud felt like over training camp with the team heading into the season. So to see some of these games and just kind of see the resilience every week, and it's a show, man. It's a show. Monday, you know, last Monday was quite a spectacle.
Yeah, no doubt. And every time we get on here and do our post game show, you know, it's we're always kind of looking for one of those games like in 2019 where you could kind of get out a few minutes early, but it's always coming down to the wire going into overtime. Nothing short of a spectacle with this year's team. And you mentioned the injuries, and I think that's a great place to start. I mean, it's obviously been something to see. You know, it's every week there seems to be a major injury, and slowed down a little bit lately. But, you know, what can you tell us about some of the expected returns with guys like Nick Boyle, Derek Wolf, Ronnie Stanley? You know, where are those guys at? Should we expect them soon? You know, what do you think?
Yeah. Derek Wolf was making progress before they put him on IR before the Broncos game. Played. He was basically starting, you know, in so many ways. So, you know, he can't start practicing until next week. And I think they'll ramp him up. They've wanted him to use these last couple of weeks to kind of get in better, you know, just cardiovascular shape, you know, start working out. When you have a bad back, you obviously can't do a lot of that stuff. So, you know, if he practices next game before the bye. So I think you have to start looking for him after the bye week to see where he's at. And, you know, I think that would be a boost. Calais Campbell's playing too many snaps. I think we all know that. I mean, he's playing great, but you're asking for it. You need Calais Campbell healthy in November, December. So I think Wolf will be a boost. The other two, Cole, are a mystery. I'm not a mystery, but, you know, Ronnie Stanley's agents are very quiet. They don't say a lot about him, and the team has been very careful not to give any updates, definitive updates on Ronnie. So it has been hard to figure out. You know, all I've heard is, you know, yeah, there's plenty of talk out there that he may be done, and, you know, okay, we'll see. You know, I had heard that's not been decided yet. He still wants to play again this year. He's still pushing. He's still rehabbing. So that's just kind of a time will tell. I don't even think the Ravens are sure when he'll be back, you know, but I think if he plays again this year and is anywhere near, you know, at a, you know, solid level, I mean, he's not going to be Ronnie Stanley all pro again, like this year right away. I mean, he needs some time. But as long as he gets to the point where he can play a competent left tackle, even if it's, you know, the last month and a half of the season, I think you have to be happy with that at this point. You know what I mean? And then Nick Boyle, you know, hasn't been practicing yet. They brought him back to practice, and it wasn't looking good. You could tell, you know, part of it is he was wearing a big bulky knee brace. And, you know, when people are trying to get used to that, that causes, you know, some hesitance. But there was clearly he was not like himself, you know, it was not running, you know, like he normally would. So they shut him down again, kind of went back to the drawing board now, and he's still in the rehabbing stage. I mean, he could return to practice anytime. But again, the thing is with these guys, it's not like they're going to return to practice and play 2 days later. I mean, it's just they need to start the ramp up process if they're going to be even have a chance. So I think over the second half of the season, you still have your fingers crossed that, you know, a couple of those guys could come and help. But at this point, there's certainly no guarantees.
Yeah, no, that seems to make a lot of sense. And it's obviously, I mean, the run game has struggled. And I think, you know, Eric Tomlinson's played admirably, just like he did in 2020, but he's still not Nick Boyle. And that's just the reality of the situation. And same with, you know, the offensive tackles, like they're still just not Ronnie Stanley. It's you go from banking on guys that are, you know, from a top three run blocking tight end, top five, top six left tackle. It's just, they're huge hits to the squad. So, you know, just got to cross our fingers that they're able to get them back. And we'll jump right into the offense. And it wouldn't be right if you and I got talking and we didn't start with the offensive line. You know, there's no way we weren't doing that. So Patrick McCarthy's looked pretty darn good at right tackle. I think he's surpassed a lot of expectations. Bozeman seems to have solidified the center position, had a bit of a rougher outing in the last one, but overall, I mean, it's been a very, very good piece of work. One of the questions that kind of remains is the left guard spot. You know, we have the rotation now, Ben Cleveland's on IR. You know, with Tyree Phillips returning, it's kind of another injury, but, you know, do you see him kind of regaining that spot at left guard? Because he was looking like left guard one before the injury.
Yeah, you know, but now I think you just have to worry about getting your best five offensive linemen on the field. And, you know, Cleveland, I think you'd hope that he was going to develop and become the every down starter. But, you know, now he's out for at least three. Who knows how many more it's going to be after that. And he's missed so much time. I think any thinking he's going to be, you know, the starter now, you know, it's probably not going to happen. I mean, this doesn't mean this is a lost year. He could still play meaningful reps. But it'll be interesting with Tyree Phillips. You know, man, they're an injury away. And you know, Villanueva is banged up. You can see it. Zeitler's banged up. You can see it. But they're another injury away from there. And I'm, you know, I'm knocking on wood here, but they're another injury away from there from a disaster. Juwan James, you know, maybe he becomes an option in November or December, but we're talking about a guy who hasn't played in ages. And, you know, it'll be interesting. You know, McCarthy's battling his butt off. He's banged up, and that guy is a tough son of a gun. You know, and it's just they're piecing it together every week, Cole. And you got right now, you know, we're not too far out from this Chargers game. And they only have six healthy offensive linemen, and those six include Villanueva, who's not 100% healthy, and, you know, Zeitler, who got banged up the last game. And it's just like it's every week it's piecing this thing together. Now, even to be allowed those two practice squad elevations, you have to have eight offensive linemen up. So, you know, Andre Smith is probably the seventh this week, and I guess it's David Sharp is the eighth, but – it's just like, I mean, who's your who's your swing guard? I guess is that Tristan Cologne at this point? I guess it's just, you know, or do they put Sharp in and move McCarthy inside? I have no idea. And it's just like, man, I'll give them credit every week. It's just trying to piece this thing together. And, you know, and obviously I don't think they want Andre Smith starting. They're playing meaningful snaps, but it's been tough. I mean, it really is tough. And you hope Tyree Phillips, you just hope he comes back and can be a serviceable option. Like, you know, they need to make two moves for this offensive line this week. Andre Smith is almost assumingly going to be one of them, because he's their top swing tackle, I guess. And you know, is Tyree Phillips the other one, or do you go with a guy like David Sharp? And I mean, Tyree Phillips has only practiced like three times now since he got hurt in Vegas game. So it's tough to say, man. And I mean, people want to wave a magic wand and have a above average guard or tackle appear here with their lack of salary cap space. And it's just, that's just optimistic. I'm not saying it's impossible, but there's 10 to 12 GMs right now who are trying to find a starting caliber offensive lineman in the trade. And they're just not available, because even some of these teams that aren't very good, a lot of them are playing young quarterbacks, and they still have a responsibility to protect these young quarterbacks by putting a decent offensive line in front of them. And it's hard to evaluate anybody on offense if you don't have a decent offensive line. So it's just like the demand for offensive linemen so far exceeds the supply of them. So it's just, You know, a guy the Ravens cut, I think, will probably start for the Chargers this week. Schofield. I mean, they lost one of their starting guards to a season-ending injury last week. It's tough. I mean, but everybody's dealing with it. You just gotta hope you line up contingency plans all along the way. And Tyree Phillips coming back is one, and then you get Juwan James maybe later, and you get Ronnie Stanley at some point in there, and maybe one of these other guys off the practice squad can just play a competent. But yeah, you just kind of hold your breath whenever one guy goes down. I mean, every week it seems like one of the offensive linemen is going down with something. It was Villanueva in Denver. It was Cleveland last week. It was Stanley and Tyree in week one. It's not a good run. You know, that's their thinnest position at this point.
Yeah, and this seems like a great time to push my "we should have drafted an offensive tackle" propaganda, but I'll put it aside. I'll put it aside. You've heard enough of it from me. But you raise a good point, because one thing that I keep getting asked, and I don't really know what my answer is, so I'm kind of curious what you think. But like, let's just say best case scenario, Stanley's able to come back, I don't know, week 12, week 13, and after he's gotten some practice and he's getting his conditioning back up. What do you think they do with Makari at right tackle? Do you think they kick AV just back over and Makari back to the bench? Or, you know, how do you see that playing out?
It's a good question. I think, you know, and it's so hard to say because they lose guys every week. So it's just like, who knows even what their personnel is going to be if Ronnie comes back. But, it's probably would be unconventional. We've seen him do it at guard, but you wonder if they'll get in a little rotation. You know, Ronnie probably would help Ronnie if he didn't have to play every snap right away. You know, obviously down the stretch of must-win games, Ronnie Stanley's going to be out there if he's able. But, I mean, there's 17 games this year. I mean, you're going to need all these guys. So maybe, Villanueva, maybe he every two series or something. You just kind of, you don't have to rotate every two series, but you can just kind of mix in and keep all these guys fresh while using them. I mean, again, it would be unconventional. I don't have a good handle on is that the best – is week one the best it's going to get for Alejandro Villanueva at right tackle? You know, was that the reason he struggled so much that week, just because he's uncomfortable at the position? I mean, he's had his moments since going back to left tackle too. I mean, we're not exactly seeing a shutdown guy down there, but he's been competent there. Yeah. He's won some. And that week one, he wouldn't win in any. I mean, you almost, all due respect for him, you almost felt for him. It was such a bad night. So, you know, Max Crosby's a really good player, but they're going to get Myles Garrett and TJ Watt later in the season over there. That's going to stand. So those guys are, every bit as good, probably better than Crosby. So if that's the best it's going to get, I don't think you see him back there. But I just don't know. They have to evaluate what happened in that game. Was he, I don't know. It's hard to explain, because if not, Makari's a far better option than the guy we saw there in week one. But you know what, Colin, I think we've talked about this. You know, McCarry's been banged up a little bit too over the years, and you're asking him to start basically 17 games, or it would be 16. You know, who knows? So I think it probably would all benefit these guys just to have other options at times. And you don't have to rush Juwan James along if he's able to play, and I know that's a big if. But if he's able to come back, and do you feel better with a guy like him and Tyree Phillips on the bench, or Andre Smith? I mean, let's be serious. No disrespect to Andre, but
yeah.
I think they're showing what they think about Andre Smith by just not bringing him up. I mean, every week it's, they're finding kind of a way to bring him up with keeping it, and Voigt put him on the 53. So it's going to be a storyline all year how they do it. And I'm sure they would love to get a guy before the trade deadline. But as I explained earlier, that's easier said than done.
Yeah, no, and it's just the thing. It's, if you're going to build depth on the line, you got to do it through the draft. Like, it's just, and again, not going back to the propaganda, but it's just, they're just not out there. They're just, you can't trade for them. So it's, you're bang on with that. And, it's unconventional. And I remember saying it last year when the right tackle rotation was going, like, that's what I do with, the 13 and 14 year old kids that I coach. You don't usually see it in the NFL, but, it's showing that I don't think there's any, like, the play at left guard, I don't think has had down swings because of the rotation. I think it's been, you know, personal performances. So, you know, for it being unconventional, it still seems to be working. It's giving you film on different guys. And I think it's probably having more of a benefit to the team than a harm. So,
and it's, and it, you know, I think it's a good way to develop Ben Cleveland. I mean, you know, like he's active and he's getting snaps, he's getting reps, he's getting film, he's getting teaching points, he's getting his feet wet. I mean, you know, he didn't do a whole lot over the summer because of the injuries. So, you know, if that was the plan to develop him that way and to kind of build him up gradually and maybe he was ready to go the full, you know, the full four quarters later in second half, that would have been great. But, you know, the good news is when I saw that and I saw him flat on his back and, you know, the cart comes out, you almost assume it's an IR trip. I mean, it's not always the case, but you just fear the worst. So he wasn't moving a whole lot when he went down. So, John Harbaugh said today they're hopeful, or earlier this week, excuse me, that he may only be 3 weeks or right around there. So if they can get him back in, you know, November, mid-November maybe, and you know, just upgrade the depth. And as I said, at this point, it's just a matter of getting quality options that you can suit up on game day as contingency plans and just finding your five best to put out there. You know, I think some of the criticism Greg Roman gets is warranted for a lot of things, but I don't, you know, him and Joe DeLisandris and, you know, what they're having to do every week kind of to piece this thing together and to try to kind of disguise their flaws in a lot of ways, or probably play through their flaws is a better way of saying it. I think it's been pretty admirable. They lead the league in yards per game. And you know, obviously number 8 has a lot to do with that, and that should not be forgotten, but, you know, they put the system in place for Jackson too.
Yeah, no, well said, well said. And the other position we've seen a rotation, and it's been, you know, heavily criticized, is the running back position. You know, people want to see more Tyson Williams. You know, what are you seeing from the running backs, and how do you expect to kind of see, you know, the usage evolve? I know you mentioned, you tweeted today that McCrary was one of their protections. So, you know, maybe he gets active this week as a practice squad elevation. Like, how do you kind of see that evolving in terms of the running back usage?
You know what? It's, as a reporter, Cole, one of the hardest things to do, and I try to be genuine. One of the hardest things to do, though, is to admit I have no idea. And fans ask me all the time. The injury questions are out of control. But beyond that, the other question is, who's going to be three backs? And a lot of it's the fantasy community, as you can imagine. They want to know. But
I might be guilty of that.
But the whole thing is so surprised. It's just, I don't really know what they're seeing necessarily. Like, I don't know what the fascination is with Devonta Freeman. I just don't. Like, I guess you trust him as a veteran. They got the ball in his hands a couple times late in that game, and he picked up yards. You know, he was fine. Not as a carry. I think he had one carry for 1 yard. But, you know, do they trust him on third down? And it seemed they do, and they seem to trust him late in the game to have him in there. But is Le'Veon Bell a better bet for that? I don't know. Like, is it either or? I mean, one thing I do know is I'm not saying Tyson Williams doesn't have a future as a running back, but I don't think he's ready to lead the backfield right now. And I think everyone's criticizing the decision to bench him, and I wasn't agreeing with that either. Let me make that clear. But you're not watching closely if you haven't seen a difference between how he ran in preseason when he was facing second and third teamers and a little kind of how he started. I've seen a different guy ever since he got a few pops in Vegas in the first half, or maybe early in the second. It was fumbled the ball a couple of times. It just seems like he's tentative. You know what I mean? And they're all seeing it. You know, there's one play in Vegas in the second half where he sort of like went like this into a tackle rather than facing it head on. And look, this isn't criticizing. I'm just saying this is a rookie, you know, basically a rookie learning how to play and learning what it's taken at the NFL level and playing a lot better players than ever he has. So I don't think they're holding him back like it seems people think. I would play him every week, mind you. I didn't agree with sitting him, but It's not like they're leaving Barry Sanders in his prime on the bench. I mean, let's be honest here. And then Latavius Murray, I think you know what he is. If a play is blocked for 5 or 6 yards, Latavius Murray is going to pick up 5 or 6 yards, where you feel like Gus Edwards would probably pick up 8 or 9. And then Dobbins too. So, but they have what they have, and I still think they could be successful running the football. You know, the scheme's the star here. The quarterback is the star here, and what they can do. But I don't know that any of those guys are any more than just guys at this point. You know what I mean? Like the whole story last week about trade interest. It's just like, all right, I'm assuming a couple other teams, if the Ravens decided to move on from one of those guys, would say, yeah, you know, maybe we'll slip you a 7th round conditional or something. But I can't imagine there is a whole lot of interest there. And it's just finding the best three, and that seems to be problematic, you know, to them. They seem to be, you know, if I was betting, I'd bet they'd go back to Le'Veon Bell this week maybe. But that's I'm telling you, Cole. I have no. I don't even. You know, it's nothing that you can. They really tip off and watch in practice. You really can't tell. Right. We're not allowed to watch the portions of practice where they run plays they're going to do in the game and stuff. You just see the warmups, and there's nothing like giving away with those guys in the warmups. But I would think Bell won't be around here long if he doesn't get a chance. And you know, I don't think they're losing sleep over what he wants either. You know, I think they're just trying to find the best three guys and. I don't know if there's a great answer. It's at some point you have to think they're going to give Nate McCrary a shot too, because everyone else has gotten the shot. So we'll see how that develops. We'll see. But with how much ink has been, you know, and how many keystrokes have been spent on it, I just don't know that any of these guys are kind of the guy. You know, I think they're just. You know, I think they're all pretty much in a similar boat, to be honest. Even though they all have different styles a little bit.
Yeah, and you look around the league, I mean, you take any team's top two, and the Ravens had one of the best top twos in the league. So you take away, you know, take away Chubb and Hunt, take away Eckler and Justin Jackson, you know, who's getting marched out there. So, you know, I actually would love to see Nate McCrary, because, you know, he had a little bit more of that downhill juice that I think might help when they're running that veer option and they want that dive to be kind of ran hard the way Gus Edwards used to do it, especially early in his career, you know, in 2018 when he emerged. So I think he could kind of bring that skill set. But, you know, maybe it's the same thing. It's you know, these guys still need to learn how to be pros, right? Like it's a huge adjustment to the next level. So, you know, it's just going to. I'm kind of with you, though. You know, I definitely wouldn't have sat Williams, but, you know, he fumbled 2 times on 35 career carries or touches. Like, it wasn't that it was necessarily that crazy to say that the coaches may not have had that trust in him, right? That was always my point. It's like, I wouldn't have done it, but to say it was completely unjustified, yeah, you're a coach. You're going to lose a little bit of trust if you can't, you know, when it comes to that. And the fumble on the goal line that luckily Duvernay – how different is that game if Duvernay doesn't recover it? Like, it's not that like you said, I'm not saying I agree with them and I would have sat them, but, you know, there's a reason they didn't have the full trust in Tyson Williams. But, you know, and
– Yeah, you know, and I think you – go ahead.
Oh, no, you go.
Yeah, and I think you know, you look at it as, you know, they like what they saw from Tyson Williams in the preseason. They like what they saw in training camp. I mean, he looked great. But they didn't know, and they would have been the first to, you know, they're not going to announce it to the media, but you don't know how a player is going to react when he takes a pop. You know, you don't know how a player is going to react when he starts staring down and KJ Wright and an NFL linebacker in front of him in the first game. I mean, it's different. It's a packed house on Monday Night Football. A lot of that was unknown. You don't know how Tyson Williams is going to handle picking up a blitz in a key part of the game or whatever. So you have to learn about guys, and just because a guy shows you he needs some work doesn't mean he's buried and you don't use him ever again. They want to work with him. They want to develop him. And part of the development they saw is, let's sit him down for a while and get his – let's sit him down for a week and get his attention and see if he snaps out of it. So, you know, you try different things, and I don't agree with it. I didn't think it was right, but – is it the, you know, again, they're not sitting down a Pro Bowl running back in his prime. I mean, we make a big deal about these four guys every week, and I'm as guilty as anyone. It's like, what are we talking about here? Is one of these guys going to be the difference between them winning or losing? I mean, people want to see Le'Veon Bell. He's a big name, former, I don't know how many awards he won, but perennial Pro Bowl player. I loved watching Le'Veon Bell too back in the day, but they don't have anything against Le'Veon Bell succeeding. If he was tearing it up in practice, he would be getting starter carries. I mean, people seem to – they're not in the business of stifling a guy to lose games. I mean, you know, like, what are they seeing Devonta Freeman? I don't know. But obviously, you know, they're deciding he's one of their better options when they practice every week. I don't think there's any personal vendettas against these guys. I think they're just trying to kind of coach that week, just like we said about the offensive line. They're just trying to coach that week to win a game and put the best three guys and give everybody an opportunity and hope – I mean – you know, it's, I hate to say this because it's kind of negative, but you're kind of throwing, you know what, against the wall and hoping something sticks there, you know, and then you go with the hot hand if something does. And I don't know that anything sticks, anything has stuck so far. I mean, there's been flashes, but you know, you study this as well as anyone, Cole. Is the offensive line doing a good enough job in run blocking for one of these guys to have it? You know, like, yeah. I asked Greg Roman, you know, this week, it's just, like, their teams have always stacked the box against the Ravens. They're doing it again, but they always used to be able to run on stacked boxes. It seems like all of a sudden it's and they're fine. They're finding ways to win, lead the league in yards, but just seems like they would always have the answer to stacked boxes in the past, and suddenly they don't have the answer for it, you know, in the run game. It's just, especially these third and two and third and threes used to be automatic for this team. Now they can't pick one up to save their lives.
Yeah, and that's it. And you're bang on. Like in terms, I did I think it was after the Detroit game. I did grabbed all their third downs and just see what happened on third down in the game. I think they were 1 for 10, and the first two were running plays. Both of them, the first one, just the defensive call was it was just the perfect call. There was nothing Freeman could have done. But the second one, you see two missed blocks on Murray's duo concept. You know, Mekari gets blown up, hit. Murray has to cut outside. And then Hollywood Brown was coming downhill and didn't hit a seal block. And Murray can't make a guy miss right now. Yeah. Like, it's just kind of like what you said. Give him 5 yards, you know, with a good block and he'll get your 5 yards. But, you know, make him have to make a couple guys miss. And, well, it's not Gus Edwards. And you're seeing the difference. Like, you're bang on. And it's not necessarily the whole line getting blown up constantly. But when you have five guys going out there trying to consistently execute and one guy is losing every now and then, but then all the other four guys are losing every now and then, that adds up, right? And then you add in a few bad reads by running backs, and you know, it just creates this dysfunction. And I keep comparing it to the passing game last year. It wasn't that it was, you know, bad pass pro every time. It wasn't that it was Lamar every time. It wasn't drops every time. It was a collection of five or six different things that when they consistently happen, there's no one fix. It's just complete dysfunction. So I mean, you know, they're getting close on some of these runs. I think, you know, you can see a few where you're like, they make that one block, you know, that's gone for 20, just like in the back in the day. But you're right. They did run into stacked boxes, but stacked boxes, everyone's got to win their one-on-one, right? Because you don't have a numbers game.
And I, you know, again, I wonder, you look at this and, you know, the common question is, why aren't they running Jackson more? You know, it seems like a lot of Jackson's runs now are a result of, you know, drop back passes. He doesn't see anything. He takes off. And, you know, if you're playing that, you know, the whole read option or whatever, and, you know, if you're drilling that now and you're a defensive coordinator, you're telling your guys not even to worry about the running back. You know what I mean? At this stage, you worry about taking Lamar away. You know what I mean? We'll deal with Latavius Murray and we'll deal with Tyson Williams. I don't even think they're that worried about that at this point. I mean, you know, not that those guys can't succeed, you know, if the play is blocked up, but you know, there'd be plays where Gus Edwards and Dobbins didn't need to be play to be blocked up. They just, I think all of it, you know, Cole, and I don't want to sound negative here. This team deserves a lot of credit with what they've done offensively. And there's so much good things to talk about, you know, so I don't want to fixate on this, but I think a lot of it just comes down to, they just don't have the margin of error they did on plays. You know what I mean? And it's, You know, they don't have a Nick Boyle. You don't have Ronnie Stanley. You know, you kind of have this revolving door at left guard. And then you don't have the backs that you used to have. And then you just add it all up. And that's a lot of factors to deal with to still continue to run the ball at a high level. But hey, everyone wanted to see this team be a high octane passing team. And they're getting what they wish for, that's for sure.
No, absolutely. And yeah, it's the great irony of going from passing yards don't matter to Lamar's fifth in passing yards. But it's great to see. And like you said, I mean, credit Greg Roman because he's adjusting to what the defense is showing. They want to keep stacking the box. All right, we'll throw it over top of you. And, you know, when the Colts started backing up, they started, you know, picking them apart short. So I thought Roman called a great game against the Colts. And we'll move into our next topic because this one I thought was so interesting because, you know, when they signed Sammy Watkins, I think you and I talked about this, like, I really didn't see them going out and getting Rashad Bateman in the first round just because, you know, it wasn't really their MO in previous years. It was kind of like, you know, we got our starters and we'll develop the young guys. But, you know, they doubled down on, you know, getting that X outside wide receiver, even though Bateman can do some work in the slot and so can Sammy. But, you know, Sammy Watkins goes down last week. I think that's not a shock to anyone. I think we were all expecting an injury at some point. And that's not disrespect to Sammy Watkins. That's just the reality of, you know, his last few years. He's been injury prone. And at the same time, Rashad Bateman's ready to come back. And, you know, he's working his way back after the groin injury or the sports hernia injury. And we've also seen some more 11 personnel from the Ravens, especially last week. So, you know, how do you see Bateman's role playing out this week, specifically against the Chargers? So, like, are you expecting him on a pitch count that'll gradually increase in the coming weeks? Or, you know, how do you see that role in it?
Yeah, I think they're going to take this down to 4 o'clock Saturday until they have to make a move. But I don't think they're really fooling anybody here. I mean, all along the expectation, you know, this is kind of his first week back was more he just did individual stuff. He didn't, you know, there was even though it was reported that there were he was never being considered to play in that Denver game. Last week he practiced a lot to the point where some people I talked to in the building felt like he was going to be up in the Monday night game, but they decided to give him another week. So yeah, all signs point to him debuting, you know, against the Chargers. And it's exciting. You know, it really is exciting. You know, Greg Roman basically said it'll be either be this week or next week, which, you know, I'm sure he's not going to announce to the Chargers, but Greg Roman also said it'll be, you know, it'll be a gradual thing. He's not going to play every play early. And you know what the best part of that is? They don't need him to, you know, like they're even without Watkins, quietly Devin Duvernay has come on and he's tough. And, you have to like what you're seeing with him. You have to like what you're seeing with Prochet. And Marquise
we have depth,
Brown,
man. We have depth.
I know. Marquise Brown is playing like a Pro Bowl player. You throw out the, you know, he makes one or two of those catches in Detroit, and you're talking about him as one of the most productive receivers in the league this year. I mean, who would have thought, you know? So I think they can afford to pick their shots with Bateman to ease him in. You know, I don't know what the pitch count will be. I think it always depends on the game situation. But it's a good situation. You know, you play him, you know, get his feet wet. You play him a little bit, maybe target him a couple times, let him get hit a couple times to get that out of the way. It's still your first time getting hit in an NFL game is still, you know, he didn't play in the preseason either, remember? So he needs to take those first couple hits and then up his role a little bit against the Bengals, maybe play him 8 to 10 more plays and then full go after the bye and you play your best guys. And, you know, I don't know how long Sammy Watkins is going to be out, but, you know, Harbaugh doesn't like when people try to interpret what he said, but he didn't seem thrilled about that situation. It was almost we'll see, but hamstrings are going to take some time and Sammy's an older guy who they don't want to re-injure it. So it would not surprise me if we don't see him for a while, but it's a perfect time for Bateman to be debuting. Kid's a stud, man. I mean, I'm just talking about how he handles himself. I love his attitude. I love his professionalism. Not for a second has he looked like a rookie just in terms of how he's practiced or how he's approached everything. We don't get to watch enough of practice to see how he's coming along, really. You know, we saw him in pregame warmups, and he did a lot of running and a lot of working with Keith Williams before the game Monday night. So I expect him to have a role. I don't think it's going to be a major storyline coming out, like how many plays he's going to play from his first week. But I think it's something that's going to increase every week.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. And it was one of those things, you know, the former Ravens would have, I shouldn't say the former Ravens, but it feels like in the past, you know, they'd go out and sign like a Jeremy Maclin and then draft a guy in the sixth round and, or sorry, sign Jeremy Maclin, draft a guy in the sixth round, and then Maclin goes down or their vet goes down, you know, going back to all those days of former vets, and, you know, there's no one on the bench to go in. And now we got Duvernay going in. We got Prochet going in. Like, he's caught, he's had seven targets, made six catches, you know, beautiful catch on, you know, it's only one catch for 11 yards, but, you know, it was a meaningful catch. It was a first down. He took that pop. Probably should have been a penalty on that play as well. Like, you got to love what you're seeing from him.
Yeah, and I mean, you saw in Denver, he was really clutch. Yeah, I loved, you know, one thing I loved that didn't get a lot of attention, and this is sort of on the same subject, but, you know, was, you know, I think it was his final drive, Lamar's final drive in overtime against the against the Colts, and I think he was 6 for 6, and it was 5 different receivers. I mean, you know, you need to score there. You want to end the game. You're hot. You got the Colts defense was out of gas. You got, you know, fifth stringers playing at cornerback. You know, Ravens shouldn't feel bad for them for that with what they're dealing with. So, but, you know, it would have been easy to try to force feed Marquise Brown or Andrews, the two guys you trust. But we saw a pass to Josh Oliver. We saw a couple of passes. I think it was Murray had one catch, or maybe it was Tyson. You know, you think Prochet or Duvernay had a catch on that drive. And that just showed – I think it showed a lot of Lamar's development.
Yep.
And how much he trusts – he's gaining trust in some of these targets. And now you throw in a first-round pick – who you can just tell to go out and be yourself and make a couple plays, and you don't have to carry the offense, because we're still going to be productive in the pass game, even if you're not, you know, a major contributor. And I mean, that's a good deal. That's a good thing to have.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you're bang on with the maturation. I think it was actually Devontae Freeman. I think he had two catches on that drive, and he made a couple guys miss. And I was like, wow, that's Atlanta Devontae Freeman. What's going on there? And
Josh Oliver won.
Shocked everyone, man.
What's that?
It shocked me. I was like, 84's on the field.
He played that Panthers game, and it was a very similar play to when he coughed it off. And, you know, you saw him, he kind of cradled the ball like this and took on a tackler. And it was just kind of, it was just like, okay, we're getting everybody involved here. I mean, Andrews was out of gas. I don't think Josh Oliver was on the field for the touchdown, for the Marquise Brown overtime touchdown. I mean, Andrews was, you know, that guy plays his butt off, and he was just out of gas. And there are times in the game where the receivers were having trouble lining up because they were out of gas, which how much they were throwing the ball and just a frantic face. Man, it was fun.
Missing was a Tylan Wallace deep touchdown.
I know.
Maybe soon.
And, you know, but everyone, look, we talk about a roster and you love this stuff, but everybody expects like he's going to be the odd man out. I mean, he never really was the odd man in, let's be honest, on offense, but he's one of their top two gunners right now. Yeah. So, my guess is they'll go 6 receivers again this week, and you'll see Bateman go in for Watkins and Tylan will stay in. I could be wrong. You know, we'll see. But let's see if Boykin gets involved too. It was kind of interesting that he didn't play a single offensive snap, even though they lost Watkins early in the game, and the other guys were out of gas. I was a little surprised by that. I wish I'd asked a question. Not that they would have provided the answer why, but it'll be interesting to see if they can get him involved as another big target in the middle of the field. You know, I would love to see him stick it to some people. I
know.
Get this off track, but he's a good kid. He works hard, and I know it's been a disappointment so far. But he also has done things to help them win, which I don't think he gets credit for, whether it's blocking, whether it's special teams, whether it's catching some touchdowns. It's not like he's never made a play before. So we'll see what Miles Boykin can do. We'll see how much of an opportunity he gets. But the fact that they don't need Miles Boykin to produce is a good thing. You know, like you can – You can, you know, they're going to need everybody at some point, but you don't go into one of these games saying one of those guys like you did in the past when Miles was starting. You didn't go into one of those games saying he has to be the X factor, you know, and they don't have to do that. You know, they have enough guys that can, you know, kind of have big games.
Yeah, no, well said for sure. And, you know, I think it's actually been, hasn't gotten talked about a ton is he does have a nose for the end zone. Like for as much as crap as he takes, he makes plays. And so, you know, they may need him to get in there and, you know, help out Bateman on some of those outside wide receiver snaps, but he'll be ready to go if they do ask him. And we'll move into the defense now. I mean, we've spent a lot of time on the offense, but I mean, there's so much to talk about. And the defense is, let's face it, a little bit more on the depressing side. But you know, and top of mind, top of the discussion is the inside linebacker position. I mean, it's been tough. Queen and Harrison have had some rough snaps. There's been some missed tackles. You know, it's been talked about ad nauseum. We won't drone out on it. But, you know, this is kind of where I'm wondering, you know, is this where we might see, you know, where they try and do explore a trade, knowing that, you know, there's some inside linebacker contracts that are a little bit cheaper. Maybe they can fit those in versus a more premium position. Or, you know, do you think they're content with Harrison and Queen and are willing to live with the, you know, the consistent learning curve?
Yeah, and by the way, I didn't want to interrupt you, Cole, but it just what we're talking about, if you stopped, I mean, we're 5 weeks into the season, and you could make a case that wide receiver is their deepest position. It's just so crazy after all these years. So
man, go back and watch the first interview you and I did before training camp. The first thing we talked about was wide receiver because it was all people were talking about.
We'll do this in April before the draft, and we'll be getting questions more than any other question they're going to draft in their wide receiver. And I'm going to put my head into my hands into my bald head. But beside the point, yeah, I actually wrote a story about this today. It's clear their patience is wearing thin with those two guys, Harrison and Queen. Queen's taking the bullets. I think Harrison struggled even worse at times. But they just look lost on Monday, and that's not good. I thought Queen played pretty well in Vegas, and it's kind of gone downhill since. And I don't know where his confidence is. We haven't gotten a chance to talk to him other than a couple weeks ago. But, you know, we're already seeing Chris Board has surpassed Malik Harrison. He's playing more snaps. They trust him in coverage more. Next step the only step I could think of would be Bynes in place of Patrick Queen, which would not shock me at least. And, you know, we saw it once in Denver. They set Patrick Queen out for a drive and put in Bynes. You know, the issue is these teams they're playing, the Chargers. Eckler, I think, is fifth among backs in the NFL in catches. Is that a good fit for Bynes? Queen's a better athlete. You still kind of would lean towards him in a matchup like this. But, I mean, if they feel like they need to do something to kind of stabilize that, it just, you know, Queen is such good athleticism. But you just don't, you know, like the old thing was Wink Martindale would always say, go make it. If you're going to make a mistake and you do it while you're playing 100 miles an hour, I'll live with it. He said today they're not doing that, and that's a indication of where they're at, I think. He just said they're not reacting quick enough, and then when they get there, they're not making the tackle. You know, that's a pretty – it's not exactly an endorsement. And we'll see in a 8 to 10 minute press conference, Wink Martindale mentioned changing the look of things three different times. And I don't know what else he could be talking. I mean, obviously they could use a safety in the inside linebacker role. You know, now Deshaun Elliott figures to come back. So that gives you a little more options. You can drop Brandon Stevens back into a matchup role. You can use Jimmy Smith to do different things. You know, you have Chuck Clark and Deshaun Elliott, obviously. You can move Chuck Clark closer to the line of scrimmage. They have more options if Deshaun Elliott is healthy. So he may be talking about that, not position change or not starting lineup changes or anything. But, you know, gradually we've already seen it a little, right? I mean, Queen snaps were down last week. The week before he sat for a series, I don't think they consider him a right now, at least how he's playing. I don't think they consider him a three down linebacker at this point. And, you know, it's, you know, I don't think anybody should give up on Patrick Queen. He's too talented. But that light needs to turn on, and he needs to, he needs to get out of his own head, because he's just second guessing himself seemingly so much. And, you know, there's been, you know, I watched some film on him, you know, I wrote about it. So I watched some film on him today, and just a couple plays where effort's an issue, and that should never be an issue, you know, where he wasn't running to the ball, you know, that Hunter Renfro overtime play. I think it was overtime or late in the fourth quarter, where they missed two tackles on the sideline, and you know, Queen was kind of late getting over there, and he missed two. And if he just ran on the play and kept running on the play, he would have been there and would have had an angle on him. But he didn't run. He kind of walked, you know, until he had to realize that when the other guys missed the tackle. So there's a lot of issues, you know, it's processing, it's, you know, all the false steps, and I just think a lot of it comes down to, it's just not playing with a lot of confidence right now. And he's not using his athletic tools to how he should and to his full advantage. And great kid, works hard. Everybody loves him. Everyone wants it to work. Nobody's happy about this. I mean, it's interesting. We went on the field today and they were doing special teams, and in one corner of the field, John Harbaugh and Patrick Queen were sitting there talking to each other. And I'm sure they're really trying to kind of get him going a little bit to, you know, speed along this development, get him out of this. But right now it's just not good enough, and it's not good enough for him. It's not good enough for Harrison either. And they miss LJ Ford. I think that's probably a position you can add a veteran in. But it comes down to kind of what we're saying about offensive line, not to the point of availability. I think there would be available players there, but I think it's more to the point of, you may only have one move left when you have that little salary cap space. And do you do it on an offensive lineman? I mean, that probably would be my choice if you could. Then you got the running back, then you got a cornerback, then you got an inside linebacker. It's like, you know, you're not going to be able to fill all these spots. You're going to have to make do in certain positions with what you have. And, you know, and we'll see what opportunities come available. And that's a hard defense to learn for an inside linebacker too. So that I'm sure, but that needs to get better. It's become, you know, I think they've had defensive problems at all three levels at this point, but that level is the one that I think concerns you the most, because that level is not real, you know, at least with the frontline guys, that level has not been impacted by injuries. You know, obviously LJ Ford is injured, but he projected more as a number three special teams. Queen and Harrison are the projected starters. They haven't had any injuries, but you look at defensive line, they've missed Wolf. You look at cornerback, they missed Peters. You look at safety, I think Elliott, they missed him a little bit, especially his tackling. Although Brendan Stevens plays his butt off, but there's no excuse for injuries in those guys. They just haven't played well, and they need to figure that out, because it's a prime issue. And when Harbaugh's kind of saying it's not good enough, and Wink is talking about changes, they're not messing around there. They see what everyone else is seeing. They're not sugarcoating it.
Yeah, no, well said. And especially with the way we get some of Harbaugh's coach speak, I mean, it's always hard to read through, but that seems pretty explicit. One thing I was wondering, and this might be a bad question, because, you know, I know open practice to media isn't that long, but is there anything you're seeing them doing specific to the tackling issue that's kind of been abnormal this year as they're trying to fix it, like more pads, more, you know, kind of doing any of the more contact versus the donut tackling at the startup, anything like that?
Yeah. You know, that's actually a good question. And we've seen it back-to-back Wednesdays. Now, this week is an abbreviated practice week. They had a walkthrough yesterday because they lost a day of preparation. You can't have a padded practice 36 hours after that game on Monday night. So, but the last couple of weeks earlier, they, you know, the way that usually is warm up, stretch, and then, you know, you go right into kind of the individual things. You know, the DBs do backpedaling and catch ball. You know, it's just kind of a extended warm-up. But the previous 2 weeks, they started with tackling over there on the defensive with, you know, and it wasn't just, you know, tackling a donut or whatever. They were working on angles. And, you know, the one practice we saw, Wink made two of the guys go do it again. Like, they were all over this drill, you know. And it's not something they're taking lightly, but it is. There's only so many ways you can address tackling.
Yeah.
you know, they're already banged up. Do you want these guys having these full contact practices 3 days or 4 days before they play an AFC rival? No, it's hard to do. You know, but they're working on it. You see it a little, you know, different drills in a lot of the practices. You know, Patrick Queen's always off by, you know, because he's out early for the special teams parts and he's kind of looks on. Then he goes in the corner and starts working. You know, a lot of times it's almost one-on-one with Rob Ryan on different stuff. You know, it's not for a lack of work, Cole. It's not translating right now. And, right. You know, he needs a game. That's what he needs. He needs to have a good game, get his confidence back up, and maybe we see a different player a little bit. But, you know, I thought he struggled at different parts last year. But then he'd make big plays, you know, and you could live with it, I think, if you're taking the ball away and he's sacking the quarterback. He had 3 sacks. I think he had 10 to 12 quarterback hits. But you're just not seeing him around and even in position to make impact plays. So, but, yeah, they're definitely working on tackling. They did not tackle well last year, and it's been a major issue, you know, this year. And they're just going to get screened to death until they start stopping it. They're just going to get dinked and dunked to death. You know, these teams go to school on everything they're seeing on film. You saw Denver try to do it. They didn't really have the manpower. Their offensive line was a mess. And, you know, Bridgewater was not seeing the field very well early, and then he got running, and Drew Lock's probably just not very good. So they didn't really have the part to make it work. But you saw Carson Wentz look plenty comfortable doing that, and he wasn't worried about getting hit because he was getting the ball out quickly and all those stuff. I mean, you know, Frank Reich's a good offensive coach, man, and he knew exactly what to tack, and they rang up 500 yards or whatever it was.
Yeah, and I mean, Austin Eckler is not going to be a treat because this is the kind of matchup that he feasts on, especially with his ability to catch the ball into the backfield. And, you know, you mentioned kind of the way Rashad Bateman is as a rookie. And, you know, I was just curious because he's been so good to start this year in terms of his on the field performance. But, you know, looking at Odafe Owe, like, you know, does he kind of have that same type of maturity to him? Because it's kind of come across that way, but I just haven't really heard too much about it. So I want to check in on that.
Yeah, there is no BS with him. I mean, he's all business all the time. You know, I'm sure he cracks up and has a good time, but that dude is intense. He's professional. He, you know, like, you say play like a Raven. I mean, he sort of embodies that and just how he goes about it. You don't get the impression for a second that he's impressed with what he's doing, that he's, you know, he's just handling success very well. I think it's scary because I don't think he even has any concept how good he can be. And you look at him and he already leads the team in sacks and you know, he's forced, you know, a couple fumbles and man, he's a, you know, as they say, I think the expression is there's no bull, you know what, in him. And that's him, man. He's all about football. He's all about making an impact and winning his matchup. And he loves it. And, you know, it's been exciting, man. I think he's going to be a fun one to watch, you know, and you can make a case he's been their best defensive player through. You know, I think Chuck Clark's played well. I don't think he played well last week. I think he struggled. Yeah. But I think through their times through the first 4 games that he might have been their most consistent player. But if you're looking at impact plays, I mean, that's where Marcus Peters comes in. I mean, who's forcing turnovers? Like, there's no turnovers. There's no, you know, Marlon Humphrey's not gotten the ball out or even been around the ball much. Their safeties are not ball hawks. We know that. You know, Averett has 2 interceptions, and I'm not taking away from him, but, you know, one of them hit off Willie Snead's dome in the end. And wasn't really a forced turnover, and the other one, Drew Lock threw him. So it's just, you know, they've needed Owe's ability to take the ball away. This isn't going to be a dominant defense. They're going to let up points, but if they're also forcing a couple turnovers and setting up their offense for points, you live with it. And I just think that's kind of what's been missing. I mean, especially in, you know, in the secondary, it seems like everyone's went to school on Marlon and how all those guys try to get the ball out and Queen, and they haven't forced a fumble really yet in that terms, other than, you know, Owe, any closer to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, no, well said. And I was listening recently to an interview that Rex Ryan did, and he said the quickest way for, you know, as a coach to lose a player is for them to lose their confidence. And, you know, that's where I think everyone's fearful with Patrick Queen, where that might be going, just because, like you mentioned, you know, he's playing a little bit slow, a little bit tentative, and, you know, maybe that confidence, but how quickly can his confidence turn around with, you know, a pick, a forced fumble? And it is the missing factor. You know, we haven't had the Peters picks. We haven't had the Humphrey forced fumbles. I mean, even if the defense or if the offense recovers it, like we saw a few times last year, I mean, the offenses were getting lucky with some of those early forced fumbles by Marlon, but it just feels like the fruit punch hasn't come out yet. And, you know, I think that defense really needs to get that confidence going and, you know, get their swagger back. Cause, you know, even if you're going to, like you said, we've seen this in a little bit in the past, you know, they'll give up yards, but then, you know, I remember it was kind of those, I think it was 2018, you know, that defense would give up some long drives, but it seemed like they'd always get red zone takeaways. Yeah. I remember CJ Mosley got like two picks in the red zone. And, you know, it's just, it seems to be the missing link. And, you know, hopefully I mean, Deshaun Elliott, I think, is going to get one here soon. Cause I definitely agree they're not ball hawks, but I've seen him getting close on a few. And I think it's, you know, I'm just waiting for the kind of, you know, I feel like they're going to click here soon. Well, anyway, I'm hoping, cause I think that's going to be, you know, it's so weird going back to the old Ravens of like the 2000s, right? Where you were so worried about the offense and, you know, the defense was just kind of coming in every week and getting it done. And now it's the complete opposite. So as a Ravens fan, it's so tough, right? It just feels so foreign, but
yeah, you know what? And they're going to get off the mat. Look, every time in the last couple of years we said, wow, this defense stinks or this defense looks bad. I mean, I remember the, you know, the year they went, what did they go, 14-2, that week three against the Browns, where they got booed, their defense got booed off their home field. I mean, they couldn't even tackle, and, you know, they wound up finishing that with a really highly ranked defense. I don't know if they're there. I don't know if the personnel is there, but they'll be better. And, you know, it's tough when you're asking, you know, like Averett played very poorly the other day. And, you know, he looked like he lost some confidence during the game. He dropped, you know, he gave more and more cushion as the game went on. It was just like he started worrying more about not giving up long touchdowns, and rather than sticking on his man. And, you know, it's, stuff's going to happen. You know, he played really well the first four games, you know, but people saying he needs to be benched. Well, who are you going to put in? I mean, come on. I mean, like, who are you going to put in? Jimmy Smith is – You love Jimmy Smith. I'm a Jimmy Smith apologist. Jimmy Smith cannot play 100% snaps on the outside, or he will be gone. He will not be playing long. I mean, it's just Jimmy's honest about himself. Jimmy knows where he's at. You need to pick your shots for Jimmy Smith, you know, and you need him to try to prolong his season as much as possible, get him in November and December healthy, and playing him outside 100% snaps is not the way to do it. I mean, he can help in that role and he should be used, but I just think people saying, oh, Jimmy needs to be playing every snap out there. Well, that's not, you know, you need Jimmy Smith. I mean, he's a key player on this team. You can't risk losing him this early. And beyond that, who do you got? I mean, I think Tavon Young, beyond the penalty, the, you know, Jack Doyle-aided, you know, acting and all that, what he did to kind of draw that, I think he played his best game as a Raven in a while. So I think that's a positive sign. But above all the stuff, you know, there's guys being asked to play more than they ever have. But I think you need your best players to be your best players. And I don't think that's been the case. Yeah. I don't think Marlon Humphrey has been as good as he usually is. And I don't think he's played poorly at all. I think he'd be the first to tell you he's missed tackles at times. He's gotten beat for a couple touchdowns. He's not gotten the ball out, you know, and everyone felt like, you know, putting him on the outside was the best spot for him, you know, and who knows? He's played good. He's played fine, you know, but he's your highest paid guy. You need him to be great. And I think not having Peters has sort of had an impact on him too. And Brandon Williams, I mean, been okay, fine. You need him to be a monster inside. Yeah. You need Matabike to be do more than flash. I mean, everyone gets so excited about Matabike, and I do too. I mean, he's a beast at times, but you need to see it translate more regularly on the field. And Justin Houston and all this. You need your best guys to be your best guys on Sunday, and I don't think that's really been the case defensively so far. You know, and Queen and Harrison and Averett are convenient targets, but you know, it's everybody. Look, they, you know, if you line up that defense, how many guys can you honestly say through 5 weeks have matched or exceeded expectations? I think you got Owe is one. And Averett before this game, obviously, was another. And maybe Chuck Clark and Deshaun, you know, had when he was playing, but he's missed. So there's just – you can count on one hand the guys that have played as well. Calais Campbell's been an animal. Obviously, you hope a little more impact in quarterback, but he's just made a lot of big plays. And as I said, he's been asked to play a lot of plays. But it's just – it's a small list. You know, it really is. And these guys will get better, but – you know, I think it's on everybody. It's not just Averett or Queen or Harrison. You need to look at the whole group, and everyone needs to start picking it up because they're without some key pieces there.
Yeah, no, and I, like I said, I really think it's that kind of confidence swagger that they're just missing right now. And I, couple turnovers, I think that tide can really turn.
Yeah, it becomes a feeding frenzy for them. I mean, they're they are great front runners, man. When they get up on you and they start making plays and they start turning the ball over, they smell blood in the water and it becomes a storm. And we've all seen it run into the corner posing. I mean, they get into it and they just haven't had really that feeding frenzy hasn't really started yet. They haven't had, they haven't broke the ice with one of those games yet. And you know, I don't know if the Chargers are going to be that team for it, but I'm also not buying the fact that they're going to get – it's going to be a track meet. Like, they're going to give up 50 like people are predicting. So, that's a proud defense. We'll see what they got for us. But they're definitely having to play through some stuff right now that they were hoping they wouldn't have to.
Yeah, and I'm dying to see Wink Martindale's chain come out. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, thank you so much, Jay-Z. You know, I appreciate your time, and everyone loves hearing these interviews. And we, you know, I love going into, you know, some of the X's and O's and hearing about some of your film. It's always such a good discussion. So everyone out there, the man needs no introduction. You know, you can find Jay-Z's work at The Athletic. You know, always good content coming out. So, you know, I've never hidden my support. I'll drop a link down below to Jay-Z's latest article, as well as a link to the subscription page. It's the best cup of coffee you'll spend. It's not expensive. Go out and do it. You know, you'll learn a lot more about the game. And Jay-Z, thanks again. Wishing you the best in the coming weeks, and hope you enjoy the nice little homestand you get where you don't have to hit the road for a couple weeks.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks as always for having me, and hope you guys are all doing well, and look forward to doing it soon.
Awesome. Thanks so much, man. So be sure to hit the like button, hit subscribe so you can find your way back. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. Peace out, everyone.